Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
We go into our gatherings as we go into this as we share the word. We wanted to just point out one or two things. I would ask a question, and I've probably been asked, and a couple of people, and I know even within the younger ones, about the issues going on. And the reason is because at times God gives grace for me to address certain issues, like when COVID was going on and other things. And of course, this is very, what I'm talking about is the war going on. I will not go into details on it because it is not something I want to talk about. But certain things I'm just going to point towards is this. One, whatever war you see, it is a timetable to the end time. Jesus said, as the hand comes, you hear wars and rumors of wars. So either Israel, Ukraine, Niger, war will continue to come. So as a Christian, the first thing you need to know is that it is the sign of the end time. The second thing I was going to say very generally, as people put out their approach, or maybe I know that probably the younger people, the youths, are going to be asking questions because some of these things they're exposed to. And it is some parallels are drawn to the faith, and that is why certain things might need to speak about certain things. But it will not be in here, it will be back in forum like we did during COVID. But one thing I just want us to also say is that God called David and anointed him to be king. That does not mean David did not make a mistake. Does that make sense? And when David made a mistake, God dealt with it. It did not say, because I chose you, you cannot make a mistake. Does that make sense? I am not speaking about anything. I'm not speaking for or against. I'm not saying generally. And also, we need to understand when God is moving and when politicians are using the name of God as cover. We've been down this route so many times in Nigeria, where they say this one is God that God has called. And when the person messes up, the church cannot separate themselves because they have said, this is the God, this is the God that God has chosen. Amen. God grant us grace. But we will definitely speak more about it because there are people who said they are concerned, especially about their faith, and are trying to understand the biblical view of what's going on. But what the Bible recommends us is that we pray for peace on all sides. We pray for peace on all sides. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, we are then just to let us know that, of course, the prayers are going on for the healing service at 11 p.m. every day. As from tomorrow, there will be prayers with the Sunday school on Sunday, the same thing, but because they cannot join at that time, it will be from 7:30 to 8. I've spoken to them already, so that when they tell you that mommy, where's the Zoom link, or daddy, where's the Zoom link, you know what they are asking you for. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to have a few or some conversations around the topic is gift to men. Gift to men. Now I'm going to start off from here. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible calls Jesus, he said, the Son is the radiant glory and the exact representation of his being. So basically, what the Bible is saying that when you see Jesus, Jesus was the exact representation of God. Jesus is the exact representation of God. And as you take that, keep that in mind. Jesus was, they were talking to Jesus, and you know, Philip was asking Jesus a question in John chapter 14. He said, "Lord, show us the Father." And let's go to John, please. He said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said, Jesus answered, "You don't know me, Philip. Even after I have been among you, he said, for such a long time, he says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." So how can you say show us the Father? So what Jesus was saying is that, what's going on here? When you see me, you have seen the Father. So Jesus was also saying that I am the exact representation of God. Thank you. I am the exact representation of God. You're getting going somewhere with this. So let's just skip down to John chapter 20, verse 21. John 20, 21. Next one. Jesus, the Bible says, again, Jesus said, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." Now, if you were to go back to what God, the Bible says, and what Jesus said, is that the Bible says Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus said, they said, show us the Father. Jesus said, when you see me, you are seeing the Father. Now, Jesus now said, I am now sending you just as the Father sent you. So what does that mean? That means that when you and I, as we are sent to become a perfect representation of God. Are we together? Amen. That, pack that to one side. When you go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the mystery of my people in Egypt." So God is saying, I have seen that these people are struggling. I have seen their pain. He said, I have heard their crying because of their slave drivers. And God now said, I am concerned. I am concerned. And please look what God said in verse 8. He said, "So, because of that, I have come down." Because of that. So, what God is saying, that they are calling on me. God, we need you to come. God, we want you to answer our prayers. God, with this, are you not seeing? Are you not concerned? And God said, "Now, Moses, I am telling you, I am now come down, and I have come to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out into the spacious place." Can you imagine? And the place filling make a money. If you are Moses, what will you be doing? You will say, Oluwa, thank you. You have finally answered our prayer. God has finally answered our prayer. Let's go on, please. And I can imagine when God was saying all of this, Moses was rolling on the floor. And God now said, "So, go, I am sending you." What God is saying is that they are calling on me, but you are my answer to them. Why Moses was saying, God, thank you for all your promises, he probably was not thinking that he was the one that will be sent. Because when God said, I have come down, he was saying, Pharaoh might die. Pharaoh is in trouble. And after that, and God has said, yeah, stand up. Go. That's what Moses got to say, sir. I was excited when you were saying all of these things. But saying that I am the one is what, maybe you are mistaken. Can you not realize that when you created me, I can't speak properly? It became an answer to the cry of the people and the concern of God. May God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, the Bible now says God has an thing. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, I've highlighted some parts in here. The Bible says, this is why the scripture says, he that ascended to the height also led, he led the crowd of captivity and he gave gifts to his people. He gave gifts to his people. The Bible says that, notice that he said, he was talking about Christ. He now said, the same one who descended is the same one who went, who ascended higher than all heaven. So that he wants to fill the whole world with his glory. The Bible now says, these are the gifts. Now, the Bible is saying the gift he gave to people. He said, these are the gifts. He gave to the church. Apostle, prophet. What he's saying is that, I want to give you a gift. That cry you have been crying for. Now, this person is the gift. Some of us, there has been crying in your family for a long period of time, about certain things. You two are joining them to cry. Say, ah, God! And God is saying, you are the gift. The answer they are praying for, you are the one. So what I'm trying to say, I'm not looking at the offices, what I'm trying to say is that the gifts he gave to men are human beings. One of the things that we will probably look at is that we will say that these things are called offices and gifts. You know, gifts. No, he said that entire thing, as you see it, is a gift to the church. So, I want you, we are looking at it as you begin to look together, that the cry and the prayer and fasting of certain people or even a nation, it is you that is the response to them. That is why Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. So when people say, we want to see God, God manifest, God do this, God do that, God said, I'm coming, I have come down. But when he says, I have come down, he's actually saying, you are the one. That field or career that it seems like it is impossible, God is saying, well, no, you are the answer to that place. You are the answer to that place. May God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, the thing that you have been running away from, the thing that you feel that, God, why did you bring me to this place? It is because you are the response to that solution. And you begin to see at times when a child is born, just use that as an example, it's not a child, they'll be telling you prophecies about what they are saying is that the response of what God is seeking, what you have been seeking God for. It is not just a baby. That baby is a response to something. That child is a response to something. You as a child in the family, you are a response to something, my God. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. You see this scenario play out again. In John chapter 12, the Bible says that some Greek who had come to Jerusalem for Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip. And the Bible says, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, they said, sir, we want to meet Jesus. Philip now told Andrew about and say, ah, these people, they came all the way. They are looking for Jesus. Andrew now said, if they are looking for Jesus, let us go and meet Jesus. I said, Jesus also, they are looking for him. So the Bible says that, and Jesus replied, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter his glory. Let's read on, please. He said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted into the soil and dies, it remains alone. But his death will produce new kernels, plentiful harvests of new lives. What is he saying? He's saying that I need to go and die. Because you are the, until I go into the ground and die, you will not be, he said, you will have many new kernels come out. He now said, in case you are thinking he's talking about agriculture, he said that harvest of new life. So what he's saying is that the reason why I died is so that I can live in you and you can be a response. Jesus is saying, all these people coming to look for me, they should not be saying, show us the Father. They should have come to you and said, Philip, this is our problem. Because Philip was supposed to be an answer to them. Does that make sense? God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, I want us to come to a place where we begin to first of all understand that when God sees an issue somewhere and he says, I am going to intervene, it is a human being that he would empower to bring the response. But at times, just like Moses, we are so excited about God saying, I'm going to do this. But nobody is going to say, when God says, get up. You say, no, God, I'm still worshiping you. At your responses. That you're going to do this. Mighty God. Gifts that God gives to men are human beings. Gifts that God gives to men are human beings. Now, the challenge is now that you are not just a gift. You are a gift to represent something. Because the initial stage was, Jesus said, I am a perfect representation and I am not sending you. When people called God, we want to see you, they didn't say they want to see Bayo. So if Bayo comes up there, it is a waste. What they wanted to see is God, not me. So when people say, we need an answer for something, God, and God says, go. God is not expecting you to turn up there as yourself. Because you are not the prayer point. You are the representation of the answer. Does that make sense? So it is first of all important that it is replicating accurately. No wonder the Bible says that we in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we are being transformed into the same image. They are not looking for Bayo. They are looking for God. If you have an imagination that, they want me to come and lead prayer there. Oh, they are waiting for me. They are not waiting for you. They are waiting for God. And this is where people mix it up. You think because you are set as an answer, you are the one that they are looking for. So the Bible says, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there is a gradual process of transformation. But please, I don't, what I'm trying to first of all emphasize, not the process, is that have it in mind, you are expected to reflect a particular image. You are expected to express a particular image. The Bible says it's in the Amplified. The Bible says we are with unveiled faces, we are continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory, even more glory, which comes from God, who is the Spirit. So what he's saying here is that there is a progressive journey of becoming his image. You see, one of the challenges about Christians sometimes is that people have a view of what they want to become. A Christian only has one image to come to. That is the image of God. I was thinking at the time, and I said, the way things are going now, I probably don't have more than one message to preach, because the more you understand Christian life, it's not like Christian life is complicated. It's just only one goal. I want to be a good husband. That is not a Christian goal. That's not the Christian goal. See, if you become like God, you become a good husband. See, all these teachings that we do, at times is good, but if you follow the goal, that which you want, you will become. But if I say, my agenda is to become the best wife on earth, and I want to become best wife on earth, if I eventually get there, by the time I get to heaven, God will say, no, that's not what we are looking for. We are looking for somebody who are right as the image of God. So that is why at times, things is not that complicated. Because Christianity is very simple. It's not that people have so many angles here and there and things like that, an excellent businessman. Yes, if you eventually arrive at the image of God, you will be a businessman. So the Bible says that we are gradually being transformed into that image. Now, the Bible now says to us that the Bible calls us that we are one of the things. I just want to use some emblems as we look into this image. One of the image the Bible calls us is priest. We are priests of God. We are priests. Note that we said that the Bible says it is a progressive journey. So the Bible calls us priests, and the Bible talks about that we are built into a spiritual house. Let's just quickly go to just to down that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says that you also are like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. Now, when you are building something, one of the things you would need to be concerned about is the foundation. The foundation of that building will determine what you will put on it. And as God is building you and I up, no matter what God has in mind to say, This is what I want Bayo to represent. The first thing he is checking is the foundation. And the Bible tells us about the foundation in 2 Peter, 2 Timothy. I say, nevertheless, the foundation of God, which he has laid, stands sure, unshaken despite the attacks. The Bible says, bearing this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord stay apart from wickedness or withdraw from wrongdoings. What the Bible is, let them depart from sin. So what I'm trying to say is that the journey of what you want God to put on your life depends on the foundation. It is a silly man that will put a skyscraper on a foundation that is not solid. So as you are looking at saying, I am the degree of which I transform and I am becoming an answer to my generation, the first thing you need to consider is the foundation. And the Bible did not say, the Bible says, let everyone who names the name of the Lord, who calls the name of the Lord, stand apart from, the Bible did not say God will take you away from it. Those are prayers that you have. No, it doesn't happen. You step away. God, the help will not come until you make a decision to step in. So the foundation is, the deeper the foundation, the quality of the foundation is how well you and I can stay away from sin. Not that we will say, God, you see, that is, God will say, Gabriel, we can't put anything on this one. If you put something on this, it will just go down. The question is, what are you doing about your foundation? You are a response. But what God needs to place on your life, he is always checking the foundation. Is the foundation strong enough that I can put 3 levels on it? Or is it the one that we just have to just build one kind of carton and just say, let's just, I say, God, why are you not doing this? God said, no, I am not stupid enough to place something big on this foundation. You know, people, but at times when the Bible talks, one of the challenges we have, and I alluded to this last week, is that people toy with God, what the Bible calls, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 12, 2, verse 11, say, dear friends, I warn you, as temporary and foreigners, keep yourself away from worldly desires that wage war against your soul. Some people do not know that their soul is under serious attack. Because they have not been seeing witches and wizards in the dream. One other thing I'm just going to just say, because as you go to represent, as God is sending you, there are certain things also that God is looking at. One, the Bible says that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says that endure suffering with me as a good soldier of Christ. The one that God sent on his mission is a soldier. Do you know one of the things that soldiers do not do? They don't fight their own battle. Have you seen a soldier that went to war because somebody offended them? And you saw somebody offended and said, I'll show you that I have some moves. If a soldier takes his gun into the neighbor's house because he was offended or was annoyed, that soldier, he has to go, he takes the cry for it. So one of the training you would have as a soldier is that you are not at leisure to fight your own battles. You fight the battles that God is involved in. Your training is so that you can, it is, so as a good soldier, one of the things is that, now, can you and I begin to review your prayer list? Which one is yours? Which one concerns God? Because that is how you begin to see how well are you bothered about the mission of God. See, those soldiers that go to war, we had one in Israel and one in Ukraine, and those soldiers that go to war, they don't ask, okay, what is, no. They know that as they are going, they will not come back. That is the truth. So when the Bible is saying, as a soldier, what he's saying is that your keen interest should not be you. Any soldier that has his keen interest about him, they don't stay in war. Pow! Yeah? They run away. I was watching the guy who was making a comment. He said, this is the difference between black man and white man. He said, and I saw it, there was a lady on CNN that was recording, that was broadcasting on about the war, and there was missiles being shot and gone. So she now, they had to add a cameraman to lie down on the floor. As so as she was lying down, she was still seeing, you can see that the bullets are coming at this and this, like that. And have you ever, so I said, NTA. Have you ever seen any NTA? Boko Haram has a fighting system. Have you ever seen any NTA staff? Go there, you know, and say, they are shooting, you know. This is what they are doing, you know. They only come after the battle is over, and they'll be showing you, and say, what happened? And people say, this is okay. Somebody will say, you will never see. They don't go to warfare. See, we'll be fighting battle in Nigeria, you don't know. But they don't go to battle. They will now come and interview everybody that is there and say, look at it. They burnt this, they burnt that, and things like that. So, but what I'm saying is that as a soldier of Christ, your part of your training is that your interest is not an issue. There is no soldier that can serve a nation if they are concerned about themselves. So when the Bible says, as a good soldier, the problem is that one of the reasons why we are struggling to fulfill God's mission in your family or in where God has called is because you are forced, you say, God, what about me? And God is saying, no, soldiers don't behave like this. So he said, as a good soldier. He now said that you need to have enduring suffering. So he's saying that as part of the quality of a soldier is the ability to endure suffering. Those two things would matter in how well God can send you anywhere. Because if your concern is you, it is an issue. If you are not ready to endure, it is an issue. You see why there are no much responses that God is sending out. People are crying, but there are no responses. Because the answers are not ready to take the training of a soldier. May God grant us understanding in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So as we see the journey of your development of the image of Christ formed in you is not an easy journey. Paul said in Galatians, Paul said that, Galatians, go down please. Galatians said, my dear children, I feel as if I am going through labor pains again until Christ is fully developed inside of you. So he's saying that I am, the process of forming you as into full development is like somebody going through labor pains. They tried to do an experiment and they tried to introduce some men to labor pains. They tried to show some men into labor pains. The father started with smiles on their face. They plucked something in their, I don't know whatever it is that they did. By the time the smiles ended up like this, the wife was forced to encourage him. Even though at the time they were like, these people have no clue. So when he's saying that I am going through labor pains until Christ is fully formed in him. Now, the person that they are using labor pains to ensure that Christ is developing in them, what are they doing? The journey of forming you to become an answer, it is not an easy journey. There will be tears on the way. There will be bruises on the way. It is guaranteed. Or else, there is no soldier. Have you ever seen that when a soldier goes to war, they just pick them from the street and say, come and go? No, it doesn't work that way. They will go through certain things. And when soldiers are going to those training, you sign some other thinking to say, if by chance I lose my life in training, it's okay. You are God's response to the cries of certain things going on. But the question is not that are you the response alone? Are you ready? Are you and I ready to be formed even though it may take pains? Even though it may be a painful journey. A soldier is not concerned about themselves. There are some military training that they even give to some that you keep a bullet for yourself. That means if you are caught, rather than give the secret out, you rather die in the war. That there's a song that they sing, they said, I will be a good soldier, I will die as my ghost. That's a Christian song that says, I will be, I will love him more truly than ever before. I would serve him more dearly than ever before. I will do as he bids me, whatever the cost. I will be a true soldier, I will die at my post. He's saying, I will love him more than ever before. I will do as he bids me, whatever it cost. I will die at my post. I said, I will be a good soldier. I will die at my post. Just want to just share one thing about as we come to a close of this. It's always good to be. That is why there are so many desires of people around. But God, that's why I was wondering why Jesus would say, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Let's go to Luke. And this is interesting that Jesus was teaching about prayer. He first of all dealt with the first aspect of the prayer. I didn't cover that in the scriptures. But if you read that scripture earlier, it talks about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who's in heaven, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses and things like that. So it seems like that was level one. So Jesus now said,
The Bible said, then he taught them more about prayer. After he had taught them the one of give me daily bread, he now said he taught them more about prayer. The Bible says he used this story. He said, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. Please note the times that Jesus was saying, at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. That is not only the issue. He said, you said to him, a friend of mine just arrived from a visit. So what he's saying is that the bread you are going to look for at 6 a.m. At midnight is not the bread you are going to eat. That was why when Jesus was first of all dealing with certain prayers, he left that before he said, okay, let me now go deeper. He's saying that, he's saying he just arrived and I have nothing for him to eat. So somebody comes, you know there is an issue on ground. And you say, well, see, me too, I have this other issue also in my life. I can't commit myself to all these kind of things. Because he doesn't have bread. At times it is easy to give what you have, as what is already available. But when he says that, okay, let us commit ourselves, God, see, my family or these people in my home, we are all in the same predicament. But rather than me join them and say, Boshenara, Yeloshenara, the Heckley is the stone that is. Amen. Go and Google it. God bless you. Amen. So he said, suppose he calls out from his bedroom and he says, don't bother me. What are you going to say? Ah, well, my friend, see, I tried, but there is no food. So you better. The Bible says he calls out the door and the door is locked. Said the door is locked for the light. My family and I are already in bed. I cannot help you. Basically, go back. Go and tell them that you don't have an answer to their issue. It is okay. You have a valid excuse to say that we have been trying eye to eye and tried. There is no answer. When people come to you with sickness, you can say, well, I have tried. And because no more manager, I mean, so you know what? Let's just continue on this journey together. You have a valid reason. You say, me, I have my own problems. So, you know, God help you. Please note how many bread he requested for was 3. The Bible says that, let's go on, please. The Bible says that suppose he calls out from his bedroom, and he calls out from his bedroom, that's again, do not bother me. I think we read that scripture twice. The Bible now says, but I tell you this, he will not do it for the sake of friendship. But if he keeps knocking long enough, he says he will get up and give him whatever he needs. That means when they now give you the bread, you only get 3. You will get whatever you need. The Bible says because of his shameless persistence. Are we shameless enough to stand with God until the response comes? Whereby people will say, don't you have better things to do with your time? You have your own issues. Why are you so fixated on making sure that God gives a response? Why are you so, if you have been praying for somebody and you call them, each time they call them, the thing is getting worse. Are you not shameful enough to say, don't let me call them today because I don't want to get myself in trouble? There are certain things, and the Bible, Jesus has said, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive whatever you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. He's saying that When it comes to things that you want to solve for your generation, it may take long. But if you are prepared to be shameless and not consider yourself, because this man could have said, I too need to go and rest. I am tired. I need some time for myself. The answer that God is sending to generations is not the one that will first of all consider their own self before they consider the name on the ground. The thing why it seems like we might not be getting to, God is saying it may be long. That's why he said, let me go further for you. This thing, that's why he said, keep on asking. What he said, it will be long. But by the time a response comes, you will not only have enough to feed them, you will have enough for yourself. People are crying out for answers. Are you going to be the answer? Or are you going to say, I've tried, I have my own issues? And God says, yes, we know you have your own issues. It's a valid excuse. But John the Baptist asked Jesus, I will close on that. In Matthew chapter 11, he said, ask him, are you the one to come? Or should we go and look for somebody else? God told us that when you came into our lives, this is what you will do. Are you the one we are looking for? Or should we be looking for somebody else? Because you don't look like the answer. Your priorities do not show us that you are passionate enough. So he said, ask him. Is it the one we are looking for? Or maybe we should still be praying to God. I say, God, we are still here. In the fold we are in, there are challenges, especially in this our London, UK. Are you the answer? Or are they going to keep waiting and say, God, please send us another one? This one has decided to go their own way. Jesus replied, go back and tell him what you hear and what you see. Basically, Jesus is saying, I may not have answers for that particular issue yet, but there are still certain things. There is a progress in place. What are the things that you and I are ready to say, you know, even though I know God is taking me here, but at least these are the little things that he has helped me to do. I am still the answer they are waiting for. So Jesus did not have a perfect answer to rescue John yet, but he had some things to say. I know this is what you are asking, but at least in my little journey, this is what I'm looking. What people are asking is that the question, let me put it in another way. Should I be praying for you that God, so God, I know that this person is going to bring light into our home. I will keep praying for you because we now know you are the answer. We just need to support you. Or are you going to say, me to our child? And that is where we are bringing our point of prayer. As the people that God is sending you to, you may not be hearing them, but they are asking in the depth of their heart, is this the answer? Or should we look for somebody else? Because when you turned up to the stage, you had so much promises. Everyone hoping that said, this is the one. But when it began to come to the thick of things, you and I disappeared. And they are saying, we thought that this was the answer. Please, can you ask them? Are you the answer? Or should we just say, God, we are still looking out to you for answers? In your family, are you the answer to whatever has been causing issues? Or are they going to say, this one has given up, oh, we are going to do for somebody else? I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about, at times there are spiritual warfare going on. That they will, people, you think that people don't, people know that they too are in trouble. But they see you as Christian and say, ah, maybe that one will be the answer for our family. But that one that is the answer that came has now begun to go around doing their own thing. And as those people spend each day in their predicament, they are saying, God, and God will say, I sent an answer to you. The answer just decided to do their own thing. Let us write your place.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.